Comme le jour de la Pentecôte était arrivé, ils étaient tous ensemble au même lieu. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria. De nos jours, il nous arrive souvent d'entendre des opinions comme « Je suis une personne très spirituelle, mais je n'ai pas besoin de religion. » Ou bien « Je prie tout le temps, je n'ai pas besoin d'aller à l'église. » Ou encore « Je suis un bon catholique, mais je ne vais pas à la messe tous les dimanches. » Dans la psychologie populaire des années 60 et des années 70, c'était tout à fait évident que l'esprit souffle où il veut, ce qui était interprété comme étant « faites ce qu'il vous plaît ». Et comme plaidoyer, l'on dit souvent que c'est la pratique de l'Église primitive qui était censée être en quelque sorte plus libre, plus spontanée, moins axée sur les règles, plus réceptive à l'esprit. Mais est-ce que c'est vraiment ainsi? Le récit de Saint-Luc sur le jour de la Pentecôte dépeint un tableau plutôt différent. Comme le jour de la Pentecôte était arrivé, ils étaient tous ensemble au même lieu. Tout d'abord, nous remarquons que les premiers disciples suivaient un calendrier liturgique, le calendrier qu'ils avaient reçu de leur ancêtre Moïse, une tradition ancienne des plus vénérables. Le jour de la Pentecôte était à l'origine une fête de la moisson, laquelle a été transformée au cours des siècles en une fête d'action de grâce pour avoir reçu la Torah, la loi de Moïse. Il convient de se rappeler que notre Seigneur lui-même a dit aux apôtres « Ne pensez pas que je sois venu abolir la loi ou les prophètes. Je ne suis pas venu abolir, mais parfaire. » En réalité, la loi et l'esprit ne sont pas opposés, mais dépendent l'un de l'autre. La loi séparée de l'esprit devient l'être morte et détruit complètement la joie chrétienne. De l'autre côté, un esprit supposément libre, non éclairé par les 10 commandements, se rend esclave du péché et défigure l'image de Dieu dans l'âme de la personne. En second lieu, nous remarquons que les disciples étaient tous ensemble au même lieu lorsqu'ils sur le Saint-Esprit. Qu'est-ce que cela nous apprend? Cela nous apprend que, dans l'économie divine, la plénitude de l'Esprit de Dieu n'est confiée qu'à l'Église. Il est vrai cependant, comme l'enseigne le Concile Vatican II, que des éléments de sanctification existe à l'extérieur des structures visibles de l'Église. Par exemple, le baptême valide de non-catholiques. Mais, où que ces éléments existent, nous savons qu'ils ont leur source en Dieu, qu'ils sont communiqués aux hommes sur terre par le corps mystique du Christ, l'Église. Nous n'avons que lire quelques chapitres plus loin, dans les Actes 8, vous trouvez comment Saint-Pierre a sévèrement condamné Simon Magus. Pour quel crime, donc? Simon Magus souhaitait recevoir la grâce de Dieu directement, immédiatement, en dehors du corps du Christ. Mais cela est impossible. Il n'y a qu'une seule voie pour retourner à Dieu, le Père de tous, et c'est par son Fils, Jésus-Christ, en communion avec le Saint-Esprit, à qui soit tout honneur, toute gloire, maintenant et toujours. Amen. Today, of course, the great feast of Pentecost, the third feast granted the celebration for 8 continuous days, the great octave of Pentecost. On this feast, we think about the grace of our baptism, the grace we received in the sacrament of confirmation, in which our children and young adults are preparing to receive this Saturday. Perfect timing in the liturgical year, Saturday within the octave. And we think about how it is, as the introit says, if the whole world is full of the Spirit of God, how is it that we, who have received the grace, are ourselves to become full of that grace? This morning, just 3 points, sayings of our Lord from the Gospel of yesterday and the Gospel of today. In the first place, from yesterday's Gospel, the Vigil Mass of Pentecost, our Lord says to his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Sounds very simple, but we often rush over that part to get to the other bits. Why do I mention this? Because, as I was saying in the French homily, it's a false opposition between law and spirit, and a false opposition between law and love. You may have seen those, or you may have heard people say, "Well, I believe in no law but love." Well, it's very clever and it makes a nice bumper sticker, but it does not bear examination. Our Lord says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." There's no opposition. Rather, they depend the one upon the other. It's something that comes together. Following the natural law, as we see articulated in the 10 commandments, is the fundament, it's the foundation, the beginning of living a life with God. The beginning. Can't build any spiritual life without that. So that is point one. And then we think in the next 2 points about how we're to fulfill that prayer of the collect. The collect today asks 2 things specifically of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing, the collect asks that we recta sapere. Recta sapere. And that can mean, I'm going to suggest, 2 different things. The first is its root meaning. To have a taste for good things. Recta sapere. To have a savor, to savor good things. And of course, in the first place, the good things, the good is God. To have a thirst or to savor the things of God. To have our daily meditation, to take any of the beautiful texts today, the Veni Creator, the sequence, so many beautiful prayers, to spend time savoring those good things in prayer. That is one meaning of recta sapere. Then those words can take a long, rather a tropological meanings. And in that sense, rectus apere comes to mean understand well, or have a right understanding. And that only comes from listening to the Spirit of God, one of the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. We're thinking of them now: wisdom, understanding, counsel. Those things are gifts of God. And to really understand rightly, we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. And in the third place, we see that the collect asks that we also be filled, rather enjoy, semper consolatione gaudere. The collect asks that we always rejoice or enjoy the consolation of God. Again, we have to think of the little hierarchy we set up. In the first place, how is it that we are to be filled with the Spirit and to enjoy the things of God? First, follow the Ten Commandments. In the second place, how is it that we come to understand well? We need to practice the examination of conscience. Why do I mention that in this connection? Because we need to understand ourselves well if we're to try to understand anything in the world. St. Augustine makes the connection in this way. He says, we are able to see the Holy Spirit, but in an unseeable way. That's kind of difficult. He says, we see him invisibly. Okay, what is St. Augustine talking about? He gives us this analogy. St. Augustine says, some things which are visible in the world, we can't see. He gives the example of our own face. It's clearly visible to others, but our own face is not visible to ourselves without using the mirror. And then he gives the example the other way. He says, just as that is possible, so too are some things which in themselves are invisible, the Spirit of God. They are made visible. How? He says, precisely when we examine our conscience, when we gaze into our conscience, as it were metaphorically, we begin to see that which in itself is unseen. And so, in addition to our meditation time, our prayer time, we spend also this quiet time, morning, noon, evening before bed, a quiet moment where we can look into the depths of our hearts and see the ways that we have pleased God, but also the ways that we have offended Almighty God. And we ask for the grace for that to be transformed. If you had one word maybe to pick to sum up all of the texts today, which are so rich, it might be that transformation, that renewal and recreation of the human person and all creation really is possible. And it's made possible, of course, by the outpouring of the Holy Ghost through Christ that the Father sends in his name. And so we pray today, especially all days, but especially today and through this octave, we pray, come Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of the faithful, and enkindle in us the fire of your love. God bless you.